The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Quaker Steak and Lube in League City. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Bauer and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number if you want to text the show. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor post. It's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jungle Fever, at Degenerates 975. And of course, you can text the show. And we are at Quaker Steak and Lube in League City. So if you are just getting off work and you are down in this area and you don't want to mess with 45, because why would you? It's an absolute disaster. It always is. Come on by, hang out. Great beer here. We got Carbox specials going on, so they got the three-legged lab, and here comes the sun. And cool crowd here, man. So come on out. This patio is awesome. This is probably my favorite patio of any place we go.
The UFC 200 press conference has been going on.
Yeah.
And
every question's about Conor McGregor.
Every question's about Conor McGregor. Why isn't Conor McGregor here? Conor McGregor tweets during the press conference. Nice of everybody to show up. For the press conference, or everyone else to show up for the press conference, respect. But has anyone else made $400 million for the company? And someone asked Nate Diaz what he thought about that. He said, Nate Diaz got his ass whooped. Or he said, Conor McGregor got his ass whooped. That's all I think about that. And Nate Diaz also said that if he's not fighting Conor McGregor, he doesn't really want to fight. He said, I'm not interested in fighting at all. He said, I'm interested in fighting Conor McGregor. He said, besides that, I don't even feel like fighting. He's like, if Conor's not fighting, I'm going to take a vacation. So I'm sure Dana White's like, hey, turn his mic off. I mean, this thing is kind of spinning out of his control, which isn't exactly the place where he wants to be. But, I'm not sure. I'm still not sure what's going to go down with that. Dana said that Diaz had a fight even if Conor isn't on the card. Diaz says he doesn't want to fight if Conor's not on the card. So who knows? It's a mess, though, and somehow John Jones fights tomorrow night, and hardly anyone's talking about it because everyone's talking about something that's going to happen and may or may not happen in 3 months.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually looking forward to that tomorrow night. I'm going to get home from the track, watch the Golovkin fight, and then buy the pay-per-view.
There you go.
So someone says you have to try the baby back ribs here. That's next on my list. I've done the wings and the burgers first. I think the ribs are definitely next. Not today, because I've already had a burger.
Right.
But next trip. And we're at Quaker Steak and Lube in League City, so come on down if you're in the area. And hang out. We'll be here till 7. We talk a little, we haven't talked a lot of draft, and guess what? We're less than a week away.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, usually people are asking us Texans draft questions 6 months out, and suddenly this year everybody's just letting it slide.
Yeah, well, it's... I'm actually looking forward to it, and we'll be out at Nick's place for the draft, so that'll be cool. But I don't pay a lot of attention to who visits the Texans, and I know that the Chronicle writes a story so and so visited the Texans, and most of these guys are never getting drafted.
Right.
There's one name that visited yesterday that I'm kind of glad to see. It shows maybe they know what they're talking about, or they listen to this show. What's the one running back I said they could get in the second or third round that I would love to see him get?
I don't know.
Kenneth Dixon. I've been saying that for months. Yeah. Louisiana Tech running back, Kenneth.
He's a wee lad.
Well, he's 222 pounds.
Was he like 5'9"?
He's 5'10". So, okay. Yeah, he's probably really 5'8".
Yeah.
He's listed at 5'10". But he visited the Texans and the Patriots, and he's second in NCAA history with 87 total touchdowns. What I like about him is he can run and he can catch.
Well, the thing is, though, the Texans don't have to prioritize running back.
They don't have to, but you know what? Another one of those guys, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Especially if you can get him in the third round where you're going to screw up the pick anyway.
I'm with you.
But the fact that they actually looked at him, I'm happy to see that.
Well, smart of them to look at everybody, every position. They should be looking at everybody.
Yeah, but you can't bring in everybody for visits. So theoretically, there's some interest in that. And that guy I like a lot, man. I think he's a weapon. He can – what is that?
He doesn't know.
He doesn't know? So – oh.
Oh, my.
More gifts.
I love them when people bring us beer.
Yeah, I think that's for you.
I don't know.
Anyway.
I don't know. Carl brought me beer. Carl's my buddy from Swansea Day in New Orleans. Carl bailed me out there. I missed a pour of, like, one of the – I went there for, like – there's really, like, three or four beers that you go to this thing for. Then I missed out on one. And Carl's like, oh, I've had this. You can have my pour. Carl's a gentleman. I tell you that much now. And he went down and got me some Ghost in the Machine and some heavy machinery from Austin Beer Works. He came through big. Carl's the man.
Good dude. Gotta like that.
And I don't know that guy's name, but he bought us a beer, too.
Yeah. With his Astros hat. So.
Yeah. Astros hat bought us a beer.
Thank you, Astros hat. Yeah,
and thank you to a new person who brought beer. Everybody's awesome. Thank you, sir.
England.
Oh, that's England, huh?
Yeah, England brought us. We got beer from England. How about that?
Thanks, mate. Cheers.
Isn't mate Australian?
I don't know. I feel like they say mate too, or chum or chap. What is it? What do you say? What do you
lad.
Say? Mate or chap or chum?
Lad.
Mate? See, I told you it was mate. You threw me off.
I hear a lot of lad out of them.
No,
like,
it's
he's
mate.
A fine young lad.
It's mate. That's homie. Mate, mate is English homie.
Oh, boy. 713-780-ESPN. In case you were curious, Brock Osweiler says he's been spending many hours studying the Texans playbook.
That's good.
He said, this is something he told the Chronicle. I love the game of football. Part of that is the studying aspect. As a quarterback in this league, I'm a firm believer that you need to know the playbook better than anybody. You need to know it better than the coordinator who has been in that system for years. The way you do that is by studying. As soon as I was able to get that iPad, I dove right into it. I know it can only go to noon here with practice, but each night I go home and sit in my office for hours and just soak in this playbook as much as I can and as quick as I can.
Let me just call a quick timeout, because this sounds an awful lot like the stuff that Ryan Mallett was saying this time last year.
Yeah, did you believe it from him?
Of course not.
No.
No. Like, if Ryan Mallett had said, I've spent a lot of hours doing coke and at the strip clubs, I'd be like, makes sense.
Yep.
That seemed Ryan Mallett-y. But hopefully Brock Osweiler is telling the truth. Hopefully he is really diving into this thing.
Let's be honest. In the history of football, nobody's ever said, oh, I'm not really paying attention to the playbook. I'm not really trying to learn it. I'm just, I'm good enough. I can go out there. I don't care.
Brock Osweiler can do one of two things. He can either realize that he just got gifted a contract that he had no business getting, and this is going to be his last big contract, and he's happy with that, and he's just going to ride it out. Or he can say, you know what? I've just been given an opportunity that I probably just luck-boxed my way into, and I'm about to prove these guys right, and I'm going to show them that they made a good investment, and hopefully I'm here for a long time. And hopefully that's the attitude he's looking at it with, you know?
He also says, this is not something you can do overnight or in a week. It's a long process. If you try to take it all in at once, you're going to be lost. You take it day by day, step by step. You start on page one, and before you know it, you've gotten through a couple hundred pages, and you try to soak it all in. It takes months to learn an NFL offense. Set one small daily goal, just work little by little and kind of chomp away at it. I don't know if I'd eat the iPad, but
chomp.
Before you know it, about training camp time, it all comes together, and you're out there running it like you've been doing it for years. That's his theory. So, we shall see.
Yeah.
I hope
he's working.
Tyler says the best running back for Houston to take is Henry, in my opinion. They need a banger. I've been on record as saying I think that
you're
guy
anti-Henry.
Has. I am anti-Henry. I think there's huge bust potential there. I do not want him. And he says they need a banger. I think that's what you theoretically have Alfred Blue for. I mean, I just don't think, dude. You can roll your eyes all you want.
I know. I know. There are people like him more than I do. I get it.
And for that role, he's fine. And I think as a third back, I'd be real happy with him. But even as a two, but Derrick Henry, I would not invest a draft pick in. If I'm wrong, so be it. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Good question from 832. The Texans have a playbook?
They do.
Apparently.
Allegedly.
Yeah. 806, does Arrieta get your early projection for Cy Young?
I mean, it's way too early.
Sorry, April 22nd, I'm like, not even considering Cy Young.
So far, he's thrown a no-hitter. Yeah. He's probably high leader in the clubhouse. There you go.
He is the April Cy Young winner. How's that?
Yeah.
Does that make you happy?
That works for
get
me.
Get out of here.
I like Kenyon Drake, the other Alabama running back, and who you'll be able to get way later.
Yeah, somebody's going to go too high on Henry.
And I like Trey Madden, the USC running back, who you could probably get in like round five. And I think he's kind of undervalued a little bit. All right, I'm going to tell you guys one more time about this Golovkin fight. And if you don't know that fight is happening this weekend, you're living under a rock. I don't know what to tell you. If you like seeing people get punched in the face until the other guy goes to sleep, that's what's going to happen on Saturday night. Golovkin is going to punch someone in the face until they go to sleep. And that's why I watch boxing. That's why you should watch boxing. Tomorrow night's victim, Dominic Wade, who's undefeated so far. He's trying to break this streak. Golovkin looking for his 22nd straight knockout, his 32nd overall, and his 35th win overall. He's looking to go to 35-0. Dominic Wade, undefeated. He's the guy standing in the way. But the middleweight champ has just been a wrecking ball as of late. And trying to set up that mandatory fight with Canelo Alvarez. Hopefully this is the one that does it. Also on the card, Chocolatito Gonzalez. If you haven't seen him fight, maybe the most exciting boxer out there. This guy he throws more punches than anybody. He is tiny, but he throws. And he's the 105-108 champion. He'll be defending his title against McWilliams Arroyo. HBO's World Championship Boxing returns tomorrow night, April 23rd, Saturday. Middleweight champ Gennady Golovkin looking for his 22nd straight KO against unbeaten Dominic Wade. And flyweight king Roman Chocolatito Gonzalez defends his title against McWilliams Arroyo. See it live tomorrow night, April 23rd, 9 o'clock Central Time. And you know where to watch it, only on HBO.
You're listening to The Blitz, on ESPN 97.5.
Still Snoop Dogg and D.I. Guess who's back?
Astros Red Sox Sunday Night Baseball, 7 p.m. on ESPN 97.5.
I'm getting a lot of... Has he gotten to the part of the playbook where J.J. Watt runs the Wildcat yet?
No. Hopefully that's no longer in the playbook.
Boy, that was such a dumb call. Can we just go ahead and say that's one of the dumbest calls in Texans history in that situation, especially knowing that J.J. Watt's groin was being held together with a toothpick? And duct tape.
Not wise, guys.
Yeah. So, anyway, I hope that's out of the playbook and we never see that again. Or at least if we do see it, dude can actually run. That he's healthy.
Yeah.
I still don't want to see him out there doing that stuff. That was just... That was almost like, let's try to get the fans back in the game. Thanks for bringing that up. There's certain memories that you try to put out of your head. The Ed Norton shower scene... Pretty much all my ex-wives, and then people bring them up.
Right.
What do you do? 713-780-ESPN if you want to text the show. I have something we might have some fun with here because we obviously talk a lot about the Colts and the Titans and the Jags because they're in the same division.
Right.
The Indianapolis Star did Ryan Grigson's five best and five worst draft picks.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I guess you always evaluate things, right?
Right.
And even the five best, you're kind of like, okay, those are your best picks? So it'd be kind of fun to do the same thing with Rick Smith at some point. So I'll do that for Monday.
That sounds good.
But I'm going to give you his best. Number five, Dante Moncrief.
Okay.
That's worked out. Number four, Dwayne Allen. Is he really – I mean, he's been hurt.
Okay.
But, okay, that's one of your better ones. I mean, they paid him. I think they paid him too much.
Yeah.
Number three, Jack Muhort, who says he's their best offensive line selection,
I was going to say, if they drafted me to play offensive line, I would be their best offensive line selection.
Yeah, he's been okay at guard, but he was terrible when he played right tackle. The top two I'm pretty good with. Number two, T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah.
That's worked out very well. And number one's Andrew Luck. Which,
oh, he's all right.
Yeah. But
by the way, our prison buddy says that anybody who thinks Andrew Luck is a bust is crazy. He's not a Colts fan, but he knows Andrew Luck is the truth.
Who says he's a bust?
I don't know. He said he heard somebody say it on the show.
No,
I don't think he means us. He's saying that he heard us.
Well, people do that all the time. Yeah. There's people calling and say, oh, that guy's overrated. He's not any good. All right, here's his five worst. And stop me if this sounds very Rick Smith-like. Josh Robinson, who was they took him in the sixth round as a running back.
Yeah, I mean, if you take somebody in the sixth round.
Yeah, but apparently he was supposed to be the guy with Frank Gore. They were very fired up about him.
Okay.
They said he is a rolling ball of butcher knives. This guy in the SEC, what he did against that competition, he's hard to find. Of course, he couldn't hold the football either. He fumbled in the preseason, regular season, and he was cut by November. Number four, Khalid Holmes, who was a fourth-round pick. He's had every opportunity to be the team's starting center.
He sucks.
He's terrible. Josh Chapman, who was fifth round of the 2012 draft, nose tackle, 3-4. He's also cut.
See, I also weigh in where they were drafted.
Well, now keep in mind, they didn't have a lot of second and third round picks either.
I mean, that's true.
Number two, Hugh Thornton, who was a third round pick.
Yeah, he's a bust.
In and out of the lineup. And then number one, Bjorn Werner.
Not even close. Yeah. That guy's awful.
Yeah, well, he's not with the team anymore.
Yeah.
First round pick. He was playing special teams last year. That's how bad
sucks.
He was. So, I know it's hard to judge these guys sometimes, and it'd be kind of fun to look at guys who have done it for at least 5 years, just how bad Rick Smith's five worst are versus something like this.
We could play that game on Monday.
And how good his five best would be.
Yeah.
So, and, how much of that, and you never know how much influence coaches have and things like that. But in this case, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Texter asks, do the Rockets have any chance to win another game if Curry stays out and Clay stays cold?
Well, Curry says that there's almost no chance that he's not playing
game. Unless he gets hurt again when he's out there. But Clay Thompson's not going to have another game like that. He had a few during the year, but not many. When you win 73 games, your second-best shooter is not having games like that very often.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It was kind of a perfect storm. It was Curry being out. It was Thompson being terrible. It was Harden scoring a lot of points and getting contributions from other players. And, getting a little bit lucky at the end.
Yep.
And if you think that's going to happen again, then, yeah, they'll win another game. I tend to think it's not. There's a reason one team won 41 games and another one won 73. And it's not – I'd like to be able to sit here and tell you, oh, this is going to be a series. They've got a chance. They don't. I mean, everything went right. And I'm glad it did. I'm glad they got a win because I said it was five. 716 mentions Jerry Hughes, and he got nothing out of him when he was there. And then he got to Buffalo and became a player. I think that was before Grigson, though. I might be wrong. Robert wants to know, do you like the Astros to get right this weekend at home against the Red Sox?
I think they should. If they're going to. It's a good time to get right.
Yeah, because I don't think the Red Sox are very good. But, I think they should. They need to win. They need to start winning some series before they get too far out of it. Geez, Dustin, who's here, tweeted us his phone with the red dots.
Oh, stop doing that.
453 emails.
Quit spending so much time on Twitter and check your email.
Yeah, exactly. You tweet so damn much. You can't go in there and just hit edit and mark all as red.
Just get rid of that.
I don't know what this other thing he's got that's got 21. I guess I don't know if that's missed phone calls or
who
what.
Who knows? I can't do it.
Yeah.
If I have any red dots, it freaks me out.
See, I think I'm going to start judging people from now on whether they're red dot people or not.
I think a lot of people are, a lot more than I would like to know.
Well, then I kind of think they have mental issues. Focus issues, all kinds of problems. So, I don't mean to judge you. Well, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
You can't take the time to get rid of your damn red dots on your phone. Of course, it could be more my fault because I feel like I'm anal about it. I got to get rid of them. Maybe that's a Maybe I'm obsessive compulsive. I don't know. We need a psychologist for all that. And frankly, I don't want to deal with him. All right. Guess who's coming up next?
R.J. Bell.
Our good buddy.
It's that time.
Our good buddy R.J. Bell, always the best part of the week, is the 5:30 segment with R.J. Bell. So we'll do that when we come back. And right now, I have to tell you about my good friends at Texas Mattress Makers. And maybe you're in the market for a new mattress. Maybe you're not. Maybe you, maybe you don't need one. Maybe you love that bed of yours that's so hard and so awful. No, now's the time. If you're sleeping on a terrible bed, you need to go and check out my friends at Texas Mattress Makers. They're going to take care of you. And the cool part is, everything you get there, you're going to save at least 50% over what you're going to spend if you go to a retail store, because they make them right there in the factory and sell them directly to you. They make great beds. And here's the thing. Maybe you sleep one way. You like a hard mattress. And maybe whoever's sleeping with you likes a soft mattress. Well, guess what? They can put those two together so that you can sleep great. And you're going to save money. Right now, the Queen Pillow Top sets start as low as $245. They'd normally retail around $479. How about the King Size? $349 at the factory. You'd spend around $680 elsewhere. So that's how you spend less money, is because they make them right there at the factory and sell them directly to you. But you're also getting a quality product, and it's made by great people, and they love the Blitzers. They'll take care of you. Handcrafted quality mattresses. It's all there for you to see. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price guaranteed. Visit them at TexasMattressMakers.com or go to 4619 Navigation at the corner of Lockwood and Navigation off I-10 East. Make sure you tell them I sent you. They will take care of you. TexasMattressMakers.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Too fast you can go by, but in the long run, there's still time to change the road.
And we are back on the Blitz. You know exactly what that music means. Time for the best segment of the week. Joining us, as he does every Friday, it is RJ Bell, pregame.com. Follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Mr. Bell, how the heck are you, sir?
Oh, I'm excited. Rockets mania sweeping Texas.
Whoops.
Comeback city. I can already feel it.
Yeah. Yeah, my favorite thing here is the people who suddenly think the Rockets are going to be a factor in the series, when you look at all the things that had to go wrong last night for them to win the game. But, okay, hey, how much does it change the odds, if any?
Well, it's funny because right now at the few sports books I checked for an update, they actually have the odds off the board for the series. So if you look ahead to game four on Sunday, Golden State on the road again, 7.5-point favorite at Houston. So the announcement is Curry's playing up to 7.5 at Houston. But I'll tell you this, I talked to a really sharp NBA guy today, and he said that if you actually look at the odds for the title, they've drifted down a little bit more for Golden State, more than you might think from losing just the one game. And the feeling is that there's a little bit of pessimism about Curry's ankle. Now, the fact that he's expected to play, you would think, okay, that clears everything up. No uncertainty. But the question is he going to be, let's say, 90% for the rest? Is it one of these injuries? Now, typically with an ankle, that's not the case. With a sprain, it just gets better and better in theory. But is this an injury that, unless it rests, is rested for, you know, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 weeks, whatever extended period, it's going to stay limited? And if so, you know, Golden State with a limited Curry still the favorite to win the title, but there has been a downward movement with their title odds.
So how important is that if you're playing any of these future odds and even some of these series prices, how important is it to pay attention to that movement and whether or not you're going to react to it? So that means if you still like the Spurs or Cavs, are you still getting value in those? Is your value better if you think that the Warriors might be downgraded a little bit? How much attention do you pay to that if you're playing those?
You know, first off, there's two questions to answer. One is, what level of certainty do we have that there is some limitation? And I would say little to none, right? We don't have certainty, right? It's only speculation. It's only kind of whispers. You know, Vegas is like any other town. Is there's a network of people that, you know, when one starts whispering, it gets around. And if, you know, multiple people hear the same thing, then the whispers get louder. So, to me, I hear a lot of whispers. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. But if we knew for sure that Curry was somewhat limited, expected to be for, let's say, the rest of the playoffs, then I think your logic is exactly right. We would like Golden State less, Spurs more, Cavs more, et cetera, Clippers more, you know, for the next round. It doesn't mean, though, that the value would be going against Golden State, because in theory, there'd be an adjustment, right? Just like if Brady is injured for the Patriots, imagine the 24 hours after the public injury announcement and a guy walks up to you and says, oh, I got my best bet of the decade. I'm betting against the Patriots. No Brady. Well, that's great if you're the only one that knows and the market doesn't. But once information becomes public, it's no longer about knowing or not. It's about pricing that information. How impactful is it? What's the consequence of it? How do you price it into the odds? And that's what pros do better than anyone, properly price stuff. This feels like one, though, that isn't. Have you guys heard this prior to me saying it?
Let me let's turn our attention to the NFL, because we've already got week one spreads, and I know we love us some NFL. Some of the numbers, I was looking at your season numbers, and some of them seemed awfully high as you get later in the season. So I don't know how much the players actually look at that and jump on these now, and how much of them are just for us to talk about that the Texans would be 5-point favorites against the Bears.
No, this is bad. And so let's be very specific. So in Las Vegas, CG Technology, which is the biggest book, it used to be Cantor Gaming, they changed their name. They just yesterday released, and I actually tweeted out at RJ in Vegas, all of these in a PDF form, every point spread week one through week 16. They don't do the last week because there's just too much uncertainty with rested players and all that in playoff situations that you can't foresee in any way. But really, 1 through 16, pretty much every game. They have one or two or a handful not there for whatever reason. Now, how many recreational bettors? You know, they're in from Houston and they decide to bet week 14 Texans game. Very few. But amongst the professionals, and I think, if I remember right, the limits on these are $3,000. So I'll give you an example. We've got a guy, Steve Fezzik, only guy to win the Super Contest twice, which is like the World Series of Poker for sports betting. He's an NFL specialist. Yesterday, he'll go to, you know, whenever these are released, and yesterday being an example, he'll go down literally with, you know, 30K in cash, and he'll bang, you know, 10 games, 3,000 a crack. Might be week one, might be week 15, might be anywhere in between. But for him, he feels like that he can get 3, 4, 5 points. Now, in a typical NFL week, he might bet a game if it's minus 5 and he thinks it should be minus 3, well, he'll take the dog. Here, he'll set the bar even higher and say, I want to be 3 points off, 4 points off, 5 points off. And that's what you'll see, because these are world openers, because he is so good, he'll get 10 or more limit bets at 3,000 a crack, let's say, and he'll just go put those tickets in the safety deposit box. So I think serious professionals. Now, here's the irony. On one hand, on the lower end, the average fan's not betting these, and either are the syndicates. The Billy Walters types, the guys that are betting literally $100,000 a game, they can't really take advantage of these, because for them, $3,000 isn't worth showing where they think the bookmaker's wrong on a certain team. But the guys in the middle, the guys like Fezzik that grind and bet $3,000 to $5,000 a game, which is a lot of money, but a lot less than the syndicates, they love these kind of early lines. Something we'll be talking about in June, the Golden Nugget puts out about 200 college football games with, I think, a $1,000 limit every June, and the middle-of-the-road pros love that too.
As I was looking through those lines, particularly the week one lines, and I saw the Broncos are 1.5-point favorites. I just looked all the way up and down the list, and I saw, man, the Broncos, for a team that we have no idea what they're doing at quarterback, they are getting a whole lot of respect going into this season, aren't they?
I agree, but here's the question, and it really zeroes into the debate, the end of the season, which is, was Peyton Manning really a below-average player? Because the stats say that he was. That if you just, especially if you look at it season long, he was a below average quarterback. So could the case be made for the first time since Brad Johnson, was there a below average quarterback, or let's say not an above average quarterback that won the Super Bowl? It would be the first time, many would say, since Brad Johnson, you know, whatever, almost 15 years ago now. On the other hand, I'm of the belief, and maybe I'm a little sentimental, a little old school, but I'm of the belief in the playoffs, especially when you have a great defense, not throwing the interception, not fumbling, getting strip sacked, that third and four, you know, audibling into the run play that gets the first. I actually felt like that Manning played well above average. He certainly wasn't a quarterback that could carry a team, but I thought he played well above average when you looked at what they needed to win, and obviously they won the Super Bowl. Now the question is the defense going to be similar next year? And if so, if you thought Manning was way below average, the theory is, well, hey, anyone they sign is going to be at least as good, if not better. And thus, all this respect makes sense. If you believe, like I do, that Manning actually contributed a lot, then I agree with you. They're probably overrated, the Broncos right now.
I think Manning was okay. I don't think he was, you know, dog crap, but I don't think he was a big reason why they won, particularly in the Super Bowl. I thought he played all right. I thought Osweiler played all right, but I think to expect that Mark Sanchez is going to be equal to what those two guys were, or Mark Sanchez or some mystery man, I think that may be a bit of a stretch.
Well, but let's say this. If you look at Sanchez, and again, we can say that quarterback rating or QBR, which is a variation of that with ESPN, we could say it's imperfect. But in general, if I say, does QBR tell you a lot, would you say yes or no?
Best QBR what?
If I said, does QBR tell you a lot, is it indicative of quality of play, would you say yes or no?
I think it can be, yeah.
Okay, well, that's a hedge, right? So, because I would make the case, and I haven't looked at it, that Sanchez's career QBR is better than Manning's last year. I would make a major bet that was the case.
It probably was.
So then now the question is, why wouldn't Sanchez be able to play equally as well?
Well, because I, just from my mind tells me that Mark Sanchez sucks at football.
and maybe that's the question, is how much, but here's the thing, if we don't trust the stats, if we don't trust the QBR or the quarterback rating, then all of a sudden maybe the fact that if you look at Manning, it's funny, we can talk about Osweiler maybe playing better, but if you look at the one loss record with Manning and look at the one loss record with Osweiler, it was night and day. Osweiler did fine, but Manning, if you actually add it up through the year, he was like 13-1.
See, I think even though with QBRs you have to dig deeper. You can't just look at it on the surface and
Is that deeper subjective? Because that's what everyone says. I want to trust the numbers unless I disagree with them.
No, but I want to try. I want to go after the numbers if I do agree with them, for the same reason. Because I do think that, especially ESPN's QBR, I think there's so many variables to that frankly it is interpretive. So you should, if you think you know what you're looking at, you should interpret it yourself and see how accurate it is.
What I will agree with 100%. Is unless you're very optimistic about the quarterback play for Denver, it seems like they're being valued by Vegas right now quite highly. I mean, look at what I ended up doing, and I tweeted this out also, which was taking what I thought, from my personal perspective, the game of the week, all 16 of the first 16 weeks, and the first week Broncos hosting the Panthers, Broncos favored by 1.5. Now, Broncos home says, all right, Panthers are a little bit better team. Fair enough. But as you keep going and looking at some other potential matchups, Patriots are -1 at the Broncos week 15. I mean, big game there, obviously. And it goes to show you, yeah, they're saying Patriots a little bit better. But if you really think about it, last year when they played in the playoffs, what were the Patriots in that game? 3? You know, so they're actually saying, in theory, Denver is relatively improved compared to the Patriots based upon the early numbers there. So a lot of love for Denver right now that may or may not be warranted. Agreed.
Yeah, I'm more concerned about some of the losses on defense and Wade Phillips' second year as a coordinator, the regression that that his teams have had historically, too. So, you know, not just the quarterback position. So I think I'll be going against him a little bit here early on.
You know, and I tend to agree. You know, and you also have the Super Bowl hangover and the fat and happy syndrome. And, again, the reason I'm looking to fade him, I just believe there's something fundamental. I mean, a guy like a Manning, I think, and, you know, you can go back to Larry Bird. You know, it's easy to say, well, Larry Bird was more physical than people thought. You know, his physicality was superior or better than people thought. Not superior to the league, but better. But I also think that at a certain point physically, late in his career, he was still playing as, you know, let's say top dozen in the league, and his physicality was like, you know, he could hardly walk in some spots. So I do think that there's a element of the very best guys mentally that it doesn't always show up in the stats, but it means something.
All right, that's RJ Bell, pregame.com. Follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Check out the website, man. It's fantastic. RJ, great stuff as always. This segment always goes by way too fast, my man.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. We're going to take a very quick break. We come back, we'll have the Zadot Jewelers Gem of the Day. Out here at Quaker Steak and Lube in League City, and it is getting it's getting a little wild in here, so you need to get here. Still see a few tables there, but not many. You've got a lot of blitzers in the place, so come check it out. We'll be here until 7 o'clock. Be right back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Quaker Steak and Lube in League City. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Bauer and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Attention, League City, Clear Lake, and South Houston Blitzers. The Blitz is here for a live broadcast right now. Join us at Quaker Steak and Lube on the Gulf Freeway right now in League City until 7 o'clock. It's Carbach Friday. Get specials on Rodeo Clown, Hoppadillo, Three-Legged Lab, Here Comes the Sun. We've been having the Three-Legged Lab. Plus, you've been having the Here Comes the Sun?
Oh, they're out?
They're out of Here Comes the Sun. Oh. Damn. Okay, so let me do that again. Get specials on Rodeo Clown, Hoppadillo, and Three-Legged Lab. And if you were lucky enough to get here earlier,
my brother, on his 21st birthday, was shotgunning Rodeo Clown.
Not wise, guys.
Let me tell you what a bad idea that is.
Oh.
He's like, he likes to drink. He likes to drink good beer, but he doesn't like to pay for good beer. What is this? Oh, what am I going to say? No. He likes to drink good beer, but he doesn't like to buy good beer. So when he's buying beer, he buys Coors Light. Yeah, and drinks my beer.
Yeah.
But we did his birthday at Carbach and another local bar in Houston, which will go unnamed because he threw up on the floor of their bathroom.
Who hasn't done that?
Yeah. Like it was bad because it's like a place that I'm a regular at. And
be honest, so when you've thrown up at a bar, you at least make it into the stall, right?
I don't throw up at bars. I'm a grown-ass man. But
okay,
this place...
We all believe you.
They immediately said, we're not going to serve him. And then he went, and this is the worst. Tepper was with us. Dave Tepper. Tepper goes in the bathroom with this dude, like walks up to the bathroom. And my brother put his face on the toilet seat.
Oh no!
Like laid his face on the toilet seat to throw up, but his face was facing the wrong way, so he was facing the outside of the toilet and just puked on the floor.
Well, I bet he could have puked on himself at that direction. Yeah. So there's that.
But Rodeo Clown will mess you up if you don't treat it with respect. That's a sneaky one.
So Staycation has replaced the Here Comes the Sun.
Okay, Staycation.
So plenty of Carbach here, man. The United Kingdom is representing very well down here. We've got at least three.
Oh, really?
Yes. So appreciate you guys coming out.
Any chicks?
No.
Because I know you like chicks with that accent.
I do, but sadly, no.
Okay.
I pretty much like chicks with any accent. I think we've discovered that.
What about, like Mississippi accent?
No, because that's...
Hey, Fred.
See, that reminds me too much of my first
ex-wife.
Or, like,
Alabama.
The first ex-wife had that.
You look real good, Fred. You look good in that blue dressy shirt.
No, that's not happening. Sorry.
Come on, Freddie.
No.
Come on back to my trailer. Let me show you something.
Let me show you all 37 of my tattoos.
You don't like that, huh?
No, it doesn't work for me. I appreciate everybody coming out down here. There's a bunch of, a bunch of my family's here, a bunch of friends from down Lamarck way, so appreciate everybody coming out.
No one in my family showed up. That's why I got to get a new family. It's very disappointing.
Well, I pretty much was going to get rid of mine if they didn't come here because this is as close as we're going to get to where.
What are you drinking? Coffee?
Yeah, I'm having coffee.
What the hell is going on?
It's almost 6 o'clock. I had my last beer and I'm going to have a coffee.
What the?
Yeah.
I don't know what to say to this.
You know I don't drink that much when we're out and I have to drive.
I know,
home.
But coffee?
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Nothing, I guess.
That's how you balance two beers is a coffee and water.
I was going to say water makes more sense.
Well, I'm having both. So there.
It's the middle of the day. You're like an old person.
It's the middle of the day. It's afternoon, dude. It's not middle of the day.
I mean, it's...
I'm up at 5:50 every morning. Middle of the day is like 11 o'clock.
You've been up for 12 hours. That's...
Yeah. So now I'm going to be up another 8 at least, so need a little boost. I don't do cocaine. Coffee has to work. So there you go.
Coffee in the middle of the day is something that my grandfather did.
Well, okay. I'm old.
He's like, we're going down to the... He used to call it the coffee spot. We're going down to the coffee spot. I forget his buddy's name, but he always met the same dude there every day to drink coffee in the middle of the day. I'm like, why don't you guys do this in the morning when normal people drink coffee?
Well, I drink coffee in the morning, but then I also drink coffee later in the afternoon so that I can stay up until midnight.
You know when I drink coffee?
When
I'm in Vegas.
I've never seen you drink coffee.
I get Starbucks in Vegas sometimes. Mostly when I feel like I've drank too much Red Bull and my heart's going to explode.
Yeah, because coffee's the perfect thing for
I you. Stop the Red Bull and switch to coffee.
Yeah. Have you seen the caffeine content in coffee, especially Starbucks? It ain't that far off a Red Bull.
It ain't good. Listen, I know.
No.
I know.
All right. Well, I hear music. I didn't get to do the gym of the day. I have a great gym of the day.
Well, let's do it next, Fred.
We'll do it next.
What are you going to do, let John control when you do a gym of the day?
Well, kind of, yeah, because he's...
What's he, your boss?
No, but he's running the show and he's got a clock to stick to.
All right.
713 says grown men drink coffee all day. See, you realize when we do the show in studio, I have at least 3 cups of coffee during the show. You do realize that. I've spilled one on you. You ought to know that by now.
I do know that.
So why in the hell are you surprised
I guess it's just weird to get one when you're out.
Well, not that weird. It's no different than I'm having one instead of 4. All right. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.